The Gemara Daf Yubeis and Aleph distinguishes between kinuach and bedika. And apparently there are different methods of checking, bedika being more extensive than what the Gemara refers to as kinuach. Rashi there explains, bedika means becharim stucken. It means checking in literally the holes and the cracks and crevices of the woman's vaginal area to see whether there's any dam. So that heavier, more intense, more exact type of bedika is referred to as bedika scharin ustakin, which Gemara Daf Hey discusses as well. As a machlokas rishonim, we discussed this a little bit out of context a few times ago. Machlokas rishonim, when do you require bedika scharin ustakin, and when is it sufficient to have a lower grade type of bedika? So the Ravid, in the beginning of Simit Gimel of Shar HaSefira, the Ravid Shar HaSefira, the beginning of Simit Gimel, says there are actually three types of bedika. So the first type of bedika is what the Gemara refers to as kinua, literally wiping. And that's the kind of bedika that is discussed in the context of finding a kesem. The Mishnah is about the multiple women who are sleeping in the same bed, and one of them finds dam. So you have to try to figure out what the source of the dam is. So that's where kinua comes in, but that's not relevant to our discussion in the Simen Kuf Sarivav context. And then the second category is a regular average bedika, bedika space achitzon, which is not as intense as bedika scharin ustakin. It's just a bedika to insert the cloth into the base achitzon, but not to move around into all the cracks and crevices in the vaginal area. According to the Ravid, that bedika is all that's necessary when it comes to a nida, when it comes to a zava, when it comes to a hafsek tara, when it comes to shivat nikiyim. All the time that we refer to as bedikos lamais, according to the Ravid, you don't need bedikos skar nisakin. It's sufficient to have a regular, what he calls bedikos beis achitzon, a regular bedika to insert something into the beis achitzon, but not to move it all around inside. When you require bedikos skar nisakin, according to the Ravid, that's only for bedikos taras. That's the context of the Gemara Daf Hei Amud Aleph. The context is taras. The Ravid says, there you need bedika starin u stakin. But as far as any bedika that we ever encounter, lemaisa, charin u stakin is not necessary. So that's the extreme position of the Ravid, that bedika charin u stakin is not lemaisa at all for us. The middle position we discussed in the past is that of the Ramban on Daf Hei Amud Aleph. The Ramban Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschil Mitoch. The Ramban, there is split between a bedika hefsek tara and a bedika shiva nikiyim. When it comes to hefsek tara, where it's necessary to remove a woman mecheskas tuma and to give her a cheskas tara, to change her status, in a sense. So there, that bedika for the hefsek tara has to be a more intense bedika. That has to be bedikas chorin u stakim. However, once the hefsek tara is affected, once she's already removed from the cheskas tuma, so then all you need is a regular bedika. You don't need bedika skar nistakin for the rest of Shiva Nakim. Okay, that's the middle position of the Ramban in his Chidushim, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschil Mitoch. It's interesting that the Ramban in his Halachos seems to take a different position. If you look at the Hilchos Nida L'Ramban, Perek Tes, Se'if Kaf Beis, Perek Tes Kaf Beis, the other Ramban writes, Tivdok b'yom ha'afsakam b'bal yom, page Vav in the pagination there in your Shulchan Aruch. You got a cuff base. Second column. Tivdok b'yom ha'afsakam b'bal yom b'dika yafa. So when it comes to Hefsek Tara, that should be performed before nightfall. A good, proper b'dika. B'dika skar nistokin yafa yafa. So she should perform bedika skar nistakin as the hefsek tara and then change her clothing. The chain, there are two girsos here. The girsa that we have in this printing, the preferred girsa sounds like the chain bedikas yom rishon mimeya sfira u bedikas yom hashvi'i ki inyan zeh the bedika skar nistakin. And similarly, Bedika 1, day 1 and day 7, also has to be Bedika Skar and Nistakin. The dialogue of Bedika Yom Rishon Mishvi, the Ramban holds the Mikra Adin, All you need is Bedikas 1 and 7. Ach min amufkar, who lived up b'chol yom v'yom, yizayim v'yisfir. Mitzvah min amufkar, to do Bedikah on all 7 days, they're possibly without Chorin Stockin, it doesn't indicate. So the Girsa we have here says that not only do you require Chorin Stockin for Hesek Tara, but you require Chorin Stockin for day 1 and day 7. The other Girsa is the Ein, Bedikas yom v'yom v'yisfira, etc., the Bedikas Chorin Stockin. So the other Girsa is that you dafka don't need Chorin Stockin for Bedikas 1 and 7, which would be consistent with the Ramban in Chidushim. Yeah.
The other
Girsa
in Chidushim?
The Girsa here, what he writes in Chidushim is not verbatim what he writes here. This is a condensed psak. What he writes in Chidushim is a more extensive analysis. But the Shita would be consistent with the Girsa of Ein as opposed to V'chein. So I don't know why the editor here prefers V'chein to V'ein, because if you have V'chein, it ends up that the Ramban in his Psachim is different than the Ramban Chidushim. If you have the Ein, then it's consistent. So I don't know what the Ein may read slightly more smoothly, because then you have an Ach min a Mufra, you have a contrast. So if you read it, Hesekara Chorin Sakin. Similarly, day 1 and 7, Chorin Sakin. However, and all you need is day 1 and 7, however, min a Mufkar, to be bodhic every day. Although even if you have the Ein, there's still another clause, the Ein, B'dikas Yom Rishon V'Shvi Chorin Sakin, it's sufficient to have day 1 and 7, Achman Amokhar, all 7 days. It really fits both ways. I'm not sure why the editor here prefers V'chein to V'ein, but whether or not it's V'chein or V'ein is a different sock and makes our mind either consistent or inconsistent with what he writes in Chidushim. The third position is showing, which is how he passes the Shulchan Aruch, is that of the Rashba. The Rashba is both in Torah Sabayis and in the Chidushim there in that Heyman Aleph. Heyman Aleph, Tifer Maskel Mitoch. There the Rashba writes that the requirement of Bedikas Chorin Stockin is not only for Hesek Tara, but for Shiva Nekiyim as well. So whenever we say Bedika, we really mean Bedikas Chorin Stockin. So it says Bedika in the context of Shiva Nekiyim. Whenever it says Bedika means Bedika Charin Nusakin, we don't find the term Bedika explicitly referring to anything less than Charin Nusakin. So Bedika Shiva Nekiyim every single day has to be the Charin Nusakin. And that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch here, Seif of. Kol Bedikos Elu, Bein Bedikos Hasatara, Bein Bedikos Kol Hashiva, Zichos Lios Bebegat Kishan Lava, Yashan, O Betzemer Geffen, etc. Vetach Nisanu, Ve Osamakam, Ve Omek, Lachor, Mulasakim, An Makam Shasham Ishtash, Ve Tirem Yeshbo Shum Marad Mumis, Ve Lo, Shetach Nisayim Ma'alak, An Echasma, Kinuach is insufficient. If it's difficult to do a full bedikas chorin nusakin, lefachos bedikas shayam hefsek tara, bedikas shayam risha v'yashiva, tiena makam shasham v'shash. At least on day one, which is mikra din liyikuva, according to the most minimal shita, that at least that has to be the chorin nusakin. The other bedikas you could do without bedievet. So at least day Hesekara day 1 has to be Becharin U Bistakin Benji.
So is the Mechaber therefore saying that if a woman doesn't do this procedure, it's not considered a Bedika?
Correct.
That's the only thing that she can do to be considered a Bedika. Otherwise, consider a wife.
Otherwise, it's considered a wife. Right. That's what it's asking.
Even internally.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Noz Bihuda, Pisa Shuvah quotes, here Pisa Shuvah Sivkat and Tess, quotes the Noz Bihuda Kama Simen Mem Vav, Noz Bihuda Kama Simen Mem Vav, right, quoting here the Pisa Shuvah Sivkat and Tess. Noz Bihuda tries to prove that according to many Rishonim, Me'ikir Hadin, even though we're Machmer for Chorin Stockin, Me'ikir Hadin, a lower grade Bedika is sufficient. And perhaps even a kinuach is sufficient, mikra din, according to many Rishonim. So at least in a situation where it's difficult or impossible to do a bedika schar nistakin, there's what to rely on to do a less invasive bedika, and that's something to discuss with the posek, should the circumstance arise where a bedika schar nistakin is difficult, but a less invasive bedika may be possible. Okay. What about Bidika Sanai? We alluded to this again in the past. The Rashba writes in Torah Sabayis HaKatzar Daf Kafei Amibayis. Torah Sabayis HaKatzar Daf Kafei Amibayis. A brief line. He writes, Or Hayom Yatha LeBidika Shabayis. So daylight is good, is Yatha, for an internal Bidika. That sounds like that's a lechachila or haner or hayom yachal b'dika shabayis. That's what Beit Yosef points out. Rashba sounds like this is a lechachila, but b'di'eved, if you did a b'dika night, that would count as a valid b'dika. And this seems to be based on the Gemara in Daf Kaf about Beis Munbaz. Beis Munbaz were praised for doing b'dikos in the daytime. It sounds like that's a praiseworthy thing. That's a lechachila, but not li'ikuva. So that sounds like a bedikas laila would work, even if it's not optimal. That's what the Rama writes here in Sif Dalid. Bedika tiel or hayom, velol or haner. So it's appropriate that the bedika should be by daylight and not at night. Would be the eved mahani afilu or haner. But if it's done by candlelight, if it's done shalol or hayom, that is sufficient b'di'evet. Sidri Tara here, Sifkat and Yutes is bothered. That whole model of Beis Munbaz is a little bit difficult. Beis Munbaz is talking about doing a bedika kodem tashmish to allow you to eat taros. So what does that have to do with bedika shivanakiyam? So that's a bedika to enable you to eat taros is an extra level of precaution. As opposed to the bedikas required for Shiva Nakiyim, which are Me'ikar Adin, part of the requirement of Sfira. And that we saw is explicit in Tosas and Das Samach Tosam and Aleph. Your Tosas holds explicitly that bedikas Laila doesn't work even Bidi Eved. Tosa Samotes Amir Aleph, Dibra Hamaskil, Shiva Linido, Shnayim Laziva. We saw the Tosas in the past. So the Sidri Tara says, Tosas is beferish, that Bidika Slila doesn't work. And therefore, we shouldn't be makel against Tosas, even though the Rama is makel based on the Rashba. As we noted, Poskim, even though Lichachila, we don't do Bidika Slila, Poskim are receptive, open to the possibility of doing a bedikah balayla under extenuating circumstances. Chazanish writes about this in Simen Sadi Beis Osi Beis. Simen Sadi Beis Osi Beis. And we discuss this in the context of a bodeket where a woman has a maka and you need assistance in performing the day one bedikah. That could be done at night following a little bit of time after the hefsetara. So, lechachila, we never do b'dikas balayla, but under extenuating circumstances, there's what to rely on, like the ikra din position of the Rama, based on the Rashba, to do a b'dika at night. Yeah?
This clue doesn't apply to hefsetara, it only applies to b'dikas during Shiva Nakiyim, right?
Correct, the hefsetara has to be bayom, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Clarify, I'm not sure what you... That question could mean two things. A hefsetara done after Shkia, as we discussed, is problematic to not count for that day. A hefsetara balayla be'etzem, if a bedik... It was within those Rishonim in the situation where a hefsetara b'shacharis could work, we discussed hefsetara the night before could possibly work as well if a bedika belaila does work. So it's not that fundamentally it can't work belaila b'shas atzak, right? Our situation is where it could, it just doesn't count for the next day.
So you would fall behind the day if you didn't
right. Okay. The Ramah here in Sif Yud discusses how do we treat kesamim during Shiva Nekiyah. So the Ramah writes, Yesh Omrim Divishlosha Yamim Rishonim Shal Yemeya Svira in Matza Kesem Ein Tolin Oso Lahakel Kimo Shetolin Sha'ar Ksamim Digimel Yamim Rishonim Sikum Liyos Nekiyah Lagami. So during the first 3 days of Shiva Nekiyim, if a woman finds a kesem, you can't be tola that kesem. Because the first 3 days have to be Nekiyim legamri, to corroborate the hefsetara, to corroborate the fact that she's no longer seeing dam. After the first 3 days, then the standard tlios kick in. This is based on Shuma Sadeshen, Simon, Reish, Samet, Tess. Another Rishon. However, V'dafka Kesem Sheyose Mikigris V'od. That's talking about a classic Tliya. A Tliya of the woman go walking Bashok, or in this Ask of Iksamim. The classic Tliyos where there's some circumstance that allows us to attribute the Dam to something else the woman was involved in. But when it comes to relying on a kesem pachos mikigris v'od, so that's not a classic taliyah. That's, as we discussed, according to many, an absolute exclusion from the chumrah of samim. And that's treated differently. Pachos mikigris v'od tolu bikina afilu gimel yomim harishonim. That's based on the Shuma Sadeshen, that this kind of absolute exclusion of pachos mikigris applies even during Gimel Yamim Rishonim, as the Tumas Hadashim there writes, if we didn't make this allowance, then Ein Isha Torah Labayla, that because of the strong prevalence of Macholuses, a woman would have difficulty becoming Mutaris Labayla, because it's likely that she will have a Kesem Pachas Mikigris during the first 3 days of Shiva Nekiyah. But because that is a blanket exclusion from Hilchos Tzamim, so it's excluded even when it comes to the first 3 days of Shiva Nekiyah. Yeah.
The Ramah doesn't even talk about Begin Sabonim.
Right, the later Akhbarim do. We'll get to that in a second. The Ramah just quoted the Truma Sadeshah. That's the context of the Truma Sadeshah.
We talked about the Pesachim, the note of it, that was the note of Yehuda, right?
Right, yeah.
Yehuda was against it.
Note of it was against?
Against where Begin Sabonim during Yemei Libuna.
Correct. Right, that's one angle of it, but that makes the... That's working with the premise that Sivan would help.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we'll... Let's Pesachim should talk about that here. We'll get to that in a second. And then Ramah writes, V'hu adin ima yolamaka v'gufa v'yodas shematzi adam tola ba afilu b'yosim mikigris. You could also be tola even during the first 3 days on a maka hayadu shematzi adam. If you know that there's a maka that produces dam, then you could attribute dam kesem to that maka. The shach here in the end of Sukkot and Yugimel is machmir against the Rambah, that even a maka yedua shemotzi adam, you have to be machmir on during the first 3 days of Shiva Nekiyah. Dalgam Ravavi here points out that we assume against the Shach, a maka yedua shemotzi adam, we would be tola on even during Shiva Nekiyah. And then to Michael's point, if you look here in the Pesachim Shuva, Sukkot and Kaf Beis, Sukkot and Yud Beis, Pesachim Shuva quotes in the Shuvas Kan L'Shlomo that this applies to a Darvish Einam Mekabel Tome as well. Just like there's an absolute exclusion of Pachos Mikigris from Hilchos Ksamim, from the Chumras of Ksamim, same is true by Darvish Einam Mekabel Tome, and therefore, if we're Makel on a Pachos Mikigris during Gimel Yamim Harishonim, we'll be Makel on Darvish Einam Mekabel Tome as well. And then presumably, as Benji pointed out, that applies to Siv Onim also. There is a Pesachim Shuva that we saw in Simon Kupsadi, Siv Katan Kafei, Simon Kupsadi, Siv Katan Kafei, of course, Achronim, who are machmir on this. So I think the psakam mikubal is to, or at least there's what to be mekel about, for all the three big exclusions of tzamim during Gimel Yamim HaRishonim. But again, you're not supposed to be wearing tzivonim, as we saw, so tzivonim shouldn't, under normal circumstances, be lemaisa. Although there are circumstances where pasuk may advise to wear tzivonim, as we discussed. I saw Rabbi Morgenstern Sefer, an interesting shayla, which doesn't exactly neatly fit anywhere here, but I thought I'd mention it. He writes, so Hayashiv was asked about what bedikas need to be performed by a woman who has two uteruses and two beis achitzos. Apparently there is such a condition. I asked a friend of mine, Dr. Eli Rebeck, who's a trained gynecologist and our fertility specialist. He said it's called uterus didelphus bicolus, two uterine horns. So people, apparently exists that a woman could have essentially two uteruses and then two beis achitzos, two vaginal areas that are coming out of the uteruses. So the question was, this woman apparently was unaware of the condition until she became pregnant, and when she became pregnant, she had a fetus developing in one uterus, and she was seeing down for the other uterus. So the question was, does she have to perform a hesektara and bedikos in both beis achitzos, or only the one that she's not pregnant in? So the husband of this woman apparently tied into Rav Eliashiv that as far as a uterus that has a fetus, that should be considered a misalakas damim, because that uterus isn't producing dam. So she should only have to do bedikos in the beis achitzos from the other uterus. Rav Eliashiv Paskin, that doesn't really explain it, but Rav Eliashiv Paskin that she'd have to do bedikos in both beis achitzos. Apparently there is such a medical metzius.
What's her status?
What do you mean?
I mean, in other words, when she gives birth, like, presumably that means that she's in need of the poldeus? I just answered my question.
Okay. Good. So let's move on to the sugya of paletes shechvas zera. The Mishnah tells us in Shabbos on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph Minayin lepoletes shechvas zera biyom hashlishi shehi tmeya shenemer hayu nechanim l'shloshes yamim. So we learn from Mamad Har Sinai that if a woman has poletes shechvas zera, meaning a woman had tashmish and there is zera embedded in her that she then expels, so just as her other tumas yotzim in a guf, so if she expels shechvas zera, that also creates tuma, and that we learn from hayu nechanim l'shloshes yamim. Rashi writes over here, shehi tmeya, d'yom ha'shlishi akasti lo misrucha shechva zera, v'ruya liklo v'lios v'lad nosar imena v'kvina shechva zera haroi lahasriya. So the whole discussion here of paleta shechva zera, the premise is that during the period in which paleta shechva zera is mitame, the zera is still viable. So if paleta shechva zera is mitame up to 3 days, that means that up to 3 days after the zera is released, it is going to be, it remains viable. So the Gemara here has a machlokas tanayim as to how long is the period in which zera is viable, and therefore poleta shechva zera would be metame. So is it, is it 72 hours straight? Is it any part of 3 days? Pamishen dalanonos, pamishen heinonos, pamishen vavonos. Is it always hey? Is it always vav? So we paskin vavonos. We paskin 72 hours. That's a rovishon paskin. Not like the Rambam. The Rambam in Avos HaTumah Perek Hei Alach Yud Aleph, Avos HaTumah Perek Hei Alach Yud Aleph seems to have had a different gears from the Gemara. The Rambam seems to have had the gears of Gimel Onos instead of Vav Onos. The Rambam paskins that the Tumah Kolekta Shepazera is only for 1.5 days and not for 3 days. For 36 hours and not for 72 hours. The Gaon is Messiah in this here in Sifkat and Lamed Beis. And the Shulchan Aruch writes Vav Onos, and the Gaon just points out that the Gersa of Rambam is Gimel Onos. Okay, how is this relevant to us? The Gemara on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph has an Ibai. Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, two lines from the bottom. Boi Rami Bar Chama. So if a woman is poleta shifazera, is that soser her count? We haven't yet defined who is this woman that we're asking about. That's the machlokas rishonim. But the Gemara is asking about a woman who is poleta shifazera, is that soser beziva? Is that going to knock out her count? Roa haisa v'sosera. So do we view that poleta shifazera as a re'iyah? So just like a re'iyah sam, if she sees nudam, that's going to be soser her count. If she's poleta shechvazera, if she expels shechvazera that had been embedded inside her, that's going to be soser her count as well. Odilma nogas haisa v'lo sasra. Or maybe no, it's not viewed as a re'iyah. It's viewed as a negiyah, as just coming in contact, something short of that, and isn't soser. The Gemara here doesn't seem to be poshet this Shaila, but the Gemara Daf Mem Beis Amun Aleph seems to assume that the Paleta Shechvazer is viewed as a Roa, not as a Nagas, and therefore it would be Soser, her count. Again, we'll discuss in a minute what woman are we talking about and what count are we talking about. So even though the Gemara Daf Lama Gimel doesn't seem to be posted this Shaila, the Gemara Mem Beis assumes that a poleta shechvazera is treated as a roa, and therefore there is some stira to speak about. So who is this woman that the Gemara is asking about? What is the case of poleta shechvazera where the Gemara wants to know whether the poleta shechvazera is going to be soser her count? The Rush, in the beginning of Perek Dalet, the Rush here indeed, the beginning of Perek Dalet, posa shita sovei mitam, that Rami Bar Chama's Shaila here on Daf Lam Gimel Amud Aleph is only about a woman who has relations with a Zav. So the only concern of Poleta Shefazera is if a Zav has Tashmish with a woman, and then the woman is Poletes, that Shefazera that came from a Zav. So that is a relatively uncommon occurrence, to put it mildly. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, this sugya would have very limited halacha lemaisa applications. But this Rabbeinu Tam is relatively a relative shitas yachid and rishonim. The Rush rejects Rabbeinu Tam, as do implicitly or explicitly the other rishonim. And that's not accepted lahalacha as far as how to interpret this sugya. Tosus here, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, has a different position, b'shem the Ri. Now, part of the issue that Tosus here is addressing, if you look at Rashi in the bottom, Rashi Divrei Maskil Poletes, Rashi writes, Kigon Shishim Shavizov, Upaska V'schila Limnos Upalta. So Rashi describes that this is a case of Tashmish be'Isser. She was Shimsha b'Zov during a time that Tashmish was Usser. And then the question is, what is the ramification of Poletes? The Tosa says that's not necessarily the case. Right, the implicit problem that Rashi's addressing is, so the calendar of Poletes Shechvazera is 72 hours, right? So if we're talking about being Soser Shivan Akiyam, so in order for a woman to start counting her Shivan Akiyam, she well, take a step back. Shiva the Kiva is only relevant by Zava Gadola. Zava Gadola sees Dam for how long?
3 days straight.
For 3 days straight. So if the Tashma Shira is Beheter, that would have had to be before the 3 days in which she's becoming a Zava. And if that's the case, then your 72 hours already have expired. So in a normal situation, how do you have a case of a woman who is Shimsha Beheter, who then is Paleta Shechva Zera during her Shiva Nikim? That's a question that Rashi is implicitly bothered by, which is why Rashi has to understand the sugya here is referring to Shimsha Be'isser. Good? Okay. Tosus here says, no, you can even explain how we're talking about Shimsha Beheter. Amari, the Mishkakas B'Shimsha Beheter, Shetister Ayide Pleita, Acha Re'iyas Gimel Yamir Mitzufim, the Kaimulan Kirabana B'Perek Rebbe Akiva, to be in on Shesh Ono Shlemos. So, no, you could have such a situation because Vav Onos means 72 full hours, right? So in theory, a woman could have Tashrish at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, right? And then she sees Dam that afternoon. So Sunday is day one, Monday is day two, Tuesday is day three of making her into Zava Gadola, right? And then she starts counting Shiva Nikiyim on day four, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. She starts counting Shiva Nikiyim on Wednesday, right? So she still could be Paleta Shefa Zera until 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. So you have a case, excuse me, where a woman was Shimsha Beheter, Sunday morning at 10. She becomes a Zava Gadola on Tuesday, starts counting Shiva Nikiyim on Wednesday. So at the time that she started counting, she's still within the 72 hours, and therefore you could have a situation of Paletes Shifa Zera, even where it was Shimsha Beheter. Good? Okay. Inami Acha Re'iya Achas, the Achar Tika Reb Zera, the Seferes Shiva Nikiyim, Al Tibas Dam Kechardo. Or you could have a situation, the first case is how you have a seer of Shimsha Beheter in the classical Zava scenario. But Lemaisa, since we have the Chumra Benos Yisrael of Reb Zera, so we are Machmir for Shiva Nikiyim even after a single day of Riya. So then it's a lot easier to have a situation where you could have had Tashrish Beheter followed by your Riya, a short Riya, and then she starts capping your Shiva Nikiyim well within 72 hours of the original deal. Okay? Yeah?
And that last aspect, Rabbi said one of the sugars that he was just talking about was the case where she became a Zola through Tashmish. What sugi was that? That wasn't here?
I'm sorry?
I think Rabbi had a second who just said before he got into this case where Rashi and the Tosfos, the Hamadim Rashi and Tosfos,
right.
He had a different case where the Machloket, the case in the Gemara was actually a case of a girl who became a Zola through Tashmish. Or
no, a case where she was a Zola. Or he was a Zav, and she was having Tashmish Bis, where she was a Zav, and she was having Tashmish Bisr.
Oh, okay.
That's how Rashi understands this again. And Tosa says, no, you could even, Rashi's Hachreyah was, how do you have a case where you have Tashmish Beheter, and then she really starts counting Shiva Nikiyim within 72 hours of the Tashmish? Because you need 3 days to become a Zav. Tosa answers, yeah, but it's 72 hours exactly, so that you can have your Sunday to Wednesday cases we described. Okay? So Tosfos understands we're talking about Shimsha Beheter, and we're talking about whether a Zava could be Soseris, her Shiva Nikiyim, if she is Poletes Shifa Sera. Okay? And that's how many Rishonim understand, and that's how we assume Lahalacha, as we'll get to in Shulchan Aruch a little bit later. Then the Rush here in this Pesachim quotes the third position of Rishonim, that of the Raivid. The Raivid holds that the whole din of Paleta Shifa Zera being Soser is only relevant Litaros, and not as far as the Heter Levaila. So that whole Shaila, Daf Lama Gimel, is only in a Taros context, not in a Heter Levaila context, and we're not concerned at all about Paleta Shifa Zera being Soseris the Shiva Nikiyim Le Heter Levaila. That's the position of the Raivid that the Rush quotes. The Rashba points out, the Rashba in Torah Sabayis, Kaf Vav Amud Aleph, that he thinks this may be the position of the Gaonim and the Rif as well. The Gaonim and the Rif don't quote this din of Poleta Shechla Zera. So the Rashba speculates maybe the Gaonim and the Rif are assuming like this Raivin, that it's not Lamaisa, it's only relevant in a Taras context, it's not relevant in a Heter Labaila context, and that's why the Rif and the Gaonim make no mention of Poleta Shechla Zera Lamaisa. They feel safe to say that's not necessarily a raya mechrachas, because the Rif leaves out a lot of dinim in Hilchos Nida. Although, as we noted, the Raya uses this point in other contexts as well. So maybe in Achnami, maybe all the dinim that the Rif leaves out are dafka le'inyan taras. We have that in the Tzomim context, right? The Shita of the Rav of Bezdin, which curiously the Rif also leaves out the those halachas of Tzomim. Okay, Bizei Yezimei, the Rashba thinks on some level that the Ravid is correct, Me'ikir Hadin, but the Rashba still recommends that Bal Nefesh Yachush La'atmo, even though he thinks that in principle the Ravid is correct, that there's no concern of Poleta Shifa Zera L'maisa, but it's still appropriate to be Machmir. The Rashba is bothered by the following problem with the Ravid. If the Ravid is correct, that the whole context of Poleta Shifa Zera is only relevant L'taras, and not relevant L'baila, so then you're going to be sosia l'chatzah. You're going to have to end up having basically two camps. So what's going to happen? A woman, bisman that we're knowing taras, a woman's counting her shiva nikiyim. She's poleta shechla zera. So she's sosia the count as far as taras are concerned, but she's not sosia the count as far as hetu labayla is concerned. So is that going to mean that she's going to have to continue the count labayla and restart the count in Yantaras? So she'll have to go to the mikveh twice, one to be matur labayla, but then she'll still have to have another count and go to the mikveh again in Yantaras. So could be in Achanami, according to the Ravid, maybe in Achanami. The Madani Yonta there in Osvav says no, even the Ravid would agree that when you're Noheg Taras and you're going to be sosa in Yantaras, then you have to be matur in Yantaras as well. It's only when you have one without the other that you can split. Meaning, nowadays, the Rishonim would say nowadays, where we're not knowing Taras at all, so then the whole din of Poleta Shifa Zera doesn't apply, ki hu zeh. When we're knowing Taras, so if a woman's going to be soseris her count because of Poleta Shifa Zera, then she's going to have to restart the count, le'inyan hetu l'bayil as well. In a chanami, you're not going to split. But the theory is, according to the Rishonim, that in principle, the basis of the law of Poleta Shifa Zera is only relevant for Taros, and if you're not knowing Taros, then it's of no relevance as far as the Heter Labayla. Yeah?
You're saying that the Ravid's explanation why the Rif doesn't include this in the Dinim?
The Rashba says that maybe that's why the Rif doesn't include it in his halachas. The Ravid has the following raya to his position that the Rush quotes. The Ravid has a raya for the Gemara in Samos Zayin Mubei. Samos Zayin Mubei discusses, this will be our next major sugya. The Gemara in Samos Zayin Mubei discusses when does a Zava go to the mikvah. So the Gemara says that in the Ikar Adin, a Zava goes to the mikvah on day 7, as opposed to a Nida that has to count Shiva Nikiyim and then only go to the mikvah at the conclusion of the Shiva Nikiyim. When it comes to a Zava, we say Nixas Hayom Kikulo. So in the Ikar Adin, a Zava is allowed to go to the mikvah on day 7. However, the Gemara doesn't recommend it. The Gemara says, L'maisa, you're not allowed to do that. Shema Tir V'tisser. What's the concern? So the woman's going to go to the mikvah at 10 o'clock in the morning on day 7 of her Shiva Nikiyim. The Zava is going to go to the mikvah at 10 o'clock in the morning on day 7 of her Shiva Nikiyim because we say Nixas Hayom Kikulo. And now we view it as if the entire day is complete. Okay, so she goes to the mikvah, she's going to come home, she's going to have tashmish with her husband, and then, a few hours later, she's going to see Dan. So then she's going to end up being soser her count of Shiva Nikiyim, and retroactively it'll turn out that the husband is Baal Nida, or Baal Zava. So because of this concern of Shema Batir Batisla, the Gemara says, even though the Ikar Adin, and strictly speaking, you could have gone to, a woman could go to the mikvah as a zava on day 7, We don't recommend it. Practically, you're not allowed to do that because of Shemet Hir V'Tister. And maybe she's going to go to the mitzvah, she's going to go home, have passage with her husband, and then she's going to be Soser Shemekim, she's going to see Dam. So the Rav says, one second, if Paleta Shifa Zer is relevant even for Hetter Levaila, why does the Gemara have to give you the far-fetched case that she's going to come home and be Soseres because she's going to see Dam? That's highly unlikely that a woman who just finished at Shemekim is going to see Dam again that day. Much more likely is she's going to go home, she's going to have Tashmish with her husband, and then she'd be Paleta Shifa Zer, which is what always happens after Tashmish. And then Paleta Shifa Zer is Soser Bekent of Shemekim. So that's the right is right. It must be that Poletta Shechmazar is only relevant in Yataras, not relevant in Hetter Levaila. If it was relevant in Hetter Levaila, the Gemara should have quoted Poletta Shechmazar as the reason that a woman can't go to the mikvah on day 7 of Rishon Nekiyim, and not the Shema Tira Batistor of Sin Dam. Good? Michael? Okay. That is the right is right. The Rush rejects that Raya as follows. The Rush says, the din of Paleta Shechazer being Soser doesn't mean that you knock the count down all the way back to day one. It doesn't mean that if a woman is Paleta Shechazer on the final day of Shivanakiyam, you set back the clock all the way to day one. All it means is that that day, she's Soseris that day. That day doesn't count towards the Shivanakiyam. So if on day 5 a woman is Poleta Shifa Zera, or let's say day 2, that's a more day 5, can't really construct a case with Beheter. So a woman is Poleta Shifa Zera on day 2, so then day 2 is taken off, but day 3 becomes day 2. It doesn't mean that every day has to be Naki, every day has to be clean. If she's Paleta Shechazera, that's like Yisarin in the Nikiyim of that day. But it's not a stira like if she were to see Dam, that sets the clock back to day one. So if she sees Paleta Shechazera in day two, day two is out, day three becomes day two. Yeah?
What's the question against the Raya?
We're not asking questions on the Raya, but we're getting out of the Raya's Raya.
Then why is how a rule in the Raya is a Raya?
I haven't finished yet. Okay, so the Rav says, so that's all true on day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, that if she were to be Paleta Shechazer, it would knock out that day, but not the entire count. On day 7, once you say Mitzvah Sayyam Kekulo, so then you're already home free. You've already had a Kiyam in the Nekiyam of that day. So what are you going to say? That if she Paleta Shechazer afterwards, she's Soseres, meaning you knock up. That day's already done. That day, we already fulfill the requirement of Nekiyim through Nixas Hayom Kikulo. And then you don't have to worry about being Paleta Shechazer later in the day. The Rashba closed this as well, B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rashba left Mem Beis Amud Aleph in his Kiddushim, closed the same Yishuv of the Rash, B'Shem Rabbeinu Yonah. The Sidri Tara points out there's a slightly different formulation between the way the Rush has this and the way the Rashba has this. The Rashba, Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Aval Ha'Ravid. The Rashba, Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Aval Ha'Ravid, writes as follows. The Iker Stira Shifa Zera Eino Ela Mishum Delo Nikru Nikiyim. The reason that Paleta Shifa Zera is so ser is because if she's Paleta Shifa Zera, that day can't be called Naki. The Acha Shesafra Nekiyim, but once she finishes counting Shiva Nekiyim, Nitzas Hayam Kekulo on day 7, Shuv Lo Yistur HaShifa Zera. We're no longer Soser, the Shifa Zera. Shifa Zera is no longer Soser. So it's a Chisarna Nekiyim. Once he finished day 7, Nitzas Hayam Kekulo, it's not going to be Soser Nekiyim anymore. The Rush adds a word. The Rush writes, "De Iker Stira Shifa Zera Hu Mishum De Lo Mikru Nekiyim." V'kevin shesafra mitzas yom v'tara l'bayla v'ashom v'anakiyim v'shub ein shech v'azeres v'azeres. So once you count your mitzas hayom and you go to the mikvah, so then Shefazar isn't going to pose a problem in the Kiyam. So the Tzidkut Torah points out to Katar Mem Dalet, the Rush sounds like it's not enough to just say Mitzliyam Pekulo. You need Mitzliyam Pekulo and that she has to go to the Mikvah. So once she goes to the Mikvah, so then Shefazar wouldn't be Sosir. But if she was Polenta Shefazar before going to the Mikvah, then it would be Sosir. That's pretty much a theoretical difference. Tzidkut Torah acknowledges that the other Rishonim don't have a light to rush, so la halacha, he's not prepared to accept the rush, although, again, that's a relatively minimal lemaisa ramifications. The way Rabbi Chanan explained in Kovitz Aros, Simon Lamites, Os Dalid, within the Shitas HaRash, actually, let's leave Rabbi Chanan. We're running out of time. Mereshes Moshe points out, based on this Rabbi Chanan, Simon and Zion, and maybe that's the machlokas, the Rush and the Ravid, what's the nature of the stira Polet Shechazara during Shiv Nakim? According to the Rush, it's simply a chisarin in Nakim, that you can't call that day Naki if there is Pleita Shechazara, but once you invoke Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, then the day was already Naki. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And the Ravid may assume that, no, stira is a real stira. Maybe it sets back the clock all the way to day one, and therefore the Ravid is going to be bothered with any stira on the seventh day of Shiv Nakim, even if it follows her tevila. Okay, the next time we'll have to pick up with how we accept the concern of Pleita Shechazara le'maisa, Machlokes Mechaber Ramah, and then we'll talk about the exceptions to the 4 or 5 days of waiting because of Paleta Shechazara. After we finish Kufsari God next time, we're going to move into Tfilas and Kufsari Zayans. I'll try to send you out new Marmakomas now, because we'll probably start the next again next time as well. Tomorrow, I'm assuming we'll do 3 o'clock. Okay? Great.